Welcome to Red Eye. I'm Greg Gutfeld. Let's welcome our guests. I'm here tonight with the delightful Fox News Channel anchor, Harris Faulkner, and she is delightful. Joining us, too, Matt Welch, editor-in-chief of the terrific magazine Reason. And he stinks of onions and despair. It's my repulsive sidekick, Bill Schultz. Sitting right next to me, the great Bill Hemmer. He co-anchors America's Newsroom, seen weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel. And now, to the Gregalog. It's a crab of clarity in an ocean of obscurity.
Gregalog!
So there's not much I can say that would shed light on the ghastly events that took place last Saturday. Just two words come to mind. It sucked. So let's focus instead on the media, whose opinions seem a stark contrast from the facts. And it's the facts that matter, not the thoughts of hacks with an axe to grind. The worst, the drooling blamers sprinting out of the gate faster than the facts could keep up. And this rush to judgment reveals the media's not-so-secret biases toward certain political personalities and movements. Among lefty columnists, celebs, and talking heads, their responses barely concealed a morbid glee in getting their assumptions met, using harsh rhetoric that they themselves pretend to condemn. The shooting was ripe for manufactured rage. It was a left-wing Lollapalooza. Actually, it was like a big sale at Walmart with vultures tearing over a table of identical smears, all to control the narrative, to get there first. And who showed up? Jane Fonda, Paul Krugman, the puppets at The Daily Kos and Media Matters, and even Washington Post columnist Courtland Malloy, who wanted to spit on the Tea Party but now blames the right for the shootings. And then there's the Democrat who wants to ban symbols. I believe that's symptom one in the diagnosis, you're stupid. Finally, Piers Morgan, the next Larry King, leapt into the fray with a tweet. This now deleted image from Sarah Palin website will be reason this terrible shooting has huge political ramifications. This from a Brit who ran a fake image in his newspaper featuring a British troop urinating on a prisoner. What political ramifications did that have for the soldiers he smeared? And so Twitter fed a frenzy of amnesiacs, all galloping to one conclusion, forgetting that doing the same with the Fort Hood shooter was seen as bigotry. Honestly, I wanted to go after the ghouls gorging on tragedy, but as someone famous once said, wrestling with a skunk only leaves you smelly and the skunk happy. There were a lot of skunks out there this weekend, and I already smell as is. Bill, you've been at this a long time, Mr. Hemmer. I'm talking to Mr.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
Have you seen anything like this? This incredible kind of like out of nowhere, like, you know, crazed Wizard of Oz monkeys onto, like, you know, onto people and demonizing them.
I know the media's in the crosshairs on this, and I think rightfully so, but I really don't care about what or who is writing what or, mm-hmm. or what they're saying. When we have elected responsible officials who are speaking on behalf of their constituents, and the nation is holding on to their every word, and yet they talk about opinion mm-hmm. and not fact, in my view, that's the height of irresponsibility. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday night, that's what unfortunately we got from the sheriff there out in Arizona. And I was sitting in my office, we were getting ready for a two-hour program on Saturday night, and I had not heard anything like that before. Yeah. We had no facts. And in our business, if we don't have the facts, we don't have a job. Yeah. If we don't have the facts, we don't run a business because people don't trust us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, you did say we're putting the media in the crosshairs, and as you're aware, we can't put them in the crosshairs, Bill. That's terrible. And we're going to talk about the sheriff later. Matt, I want to go to you. What was the most bizarre thing you saw in this whole kind of like unfolding of
For me,
mass
it's
hysteria?
It's the way that even after now that we know a little bit about the guy, we know that he was a saxophone player, obviously very suspicious. He was in his high school band. He's read every lousy book that's ever been written in mankind. So all the narratives have kind of fallen apart from the early moment. But people have just dug in.
Yeah.
They've said now, people like Jacob Weisberg, Katrina Vandenhuvel, they said, you know, yes, we can't tie a direct line between him and the Tea Party and the right and Sarah Palin. But
there's always the but.
This is like the biggest festival of big butts since the John Stagliano Film
that's
Festival.
That's a great way of phrasing it, that people have dug in.
Yeah.
And you're right about that.
There is a climate of hatred out there that somehow activated this guy who was going after this congressman.
People have dug in even when the facts emerge that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear people saying that this guy was, you know, a right-wing nut. But when you look at the facts, the people who knew him best, the young woman who was tweeting,
the woman who
went to high school with him, I believe her name is Katie Parker.
And before
when
she...
you look at the evidence, he was actually a left-wing pothead. That's what people called him. He had very paranoid liberal views. So I don't hear those same people, Bill, standing up and apologizing today for having said those things.
I don't know if you're
going
to get an apology, but I think it came out late today that he was a registered independent. Okay, well, that's a fact. I don't know what that means, but that's a fact. But what the sheriff said is that what is said on spoken on radio and on television drives people to react the way they do. I don't even know if this guy owns a radio.
Yeah.
He's living with his parents. Do they own a TV?
Have you seen the pictures of his backyard?
Well, they must, because they barricaded their home today when they heard the FBI was coming.
The greater point in all that is, if you don't know what you're talking about, hold your fire.
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is a disservice.
But I got to ask, Bill, isn't it the thing that got me is I sat there and I was glued to Twitter, and I don't think Twitter actually offered anything helpful to this ordeal, and may have actually contributed to it, because I don't know.
Fix an edit alert? Are you saying that Twitter brought nothing of substance to the table during this hard time, Greg?
Yes.
Well, that's a first.
Yes.
And I would think you should check your facts before you make such a thing. Yes. You are becoming what we are condemning by disparaging Twitter
in
such a manner.
I
don't apologize to me. Apologize to the tweeters.
I apologize to the tweeters. See, I was man enough. I was man enough to apologize. Hey, I want to show you something, though. But I want to show you. This is kind of like we did a timeline of events in Arizona. And compared it with the media's rush to judgment, basically on their blogs and on Twitter. At 12:10, Loeffner opens fire. At 2:07, Daily Kos founder Marcos Molitzas tweets, American Taliban, just 2 hours. 12:11 p.m., the first 911 call is received. At 2:19, Marcos tweets, mission accomplished, Sarah Palin. How did he know? At 12:19, a rescue crew arrives at the scene. At 3:22, Paul Krugman blogs, we don't have proof yet that this was political, but the odds are that it was just 3 hours after the crime. How did he know? 12:22 p.m., the suspect is in police custody. At 5:51, Jane Fonda, who knew she tweets? Sarah Palin holds responsibility, as does the violence-provoking rhetoric of the Tea Party. Apparently she was there. 12:24 p.m., wounded victims removed from the scene. At 8 p.m., Olbermann says if Sarah Palin does not repudiate her own part in amplifying violence and violent imagery in politics, she must be dismissed from politics. This from Olbermann, who's never once regurgitated fiery rhetoric in his life.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. 27 minutes after that, his friend from high school tweets, I haven't seen him since 07. However, I know for a fact he was a reclusive and that he had problems. I mean, all of that aside, this guy was nuts. And the one thing that I'm most concerned about, and we haven't talked about it much in the media, because it's like, it really is the third rail. Nobody wants to talk about the mental illness in this country. And really, what a nut job, potentially, this guy was.
Yeah.
Instead, we'd rather focus on all these other, all these other things. And when you read the litany of information now coming from people who knew him, the fact that his parents today, and this is a fact, barricaded themselves in their home.
Didn't they just put up a
wooden partition so that the agents couldn't come through.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe they were lawyered up to do that. We don't know that.
You know, it's even worse than that, Harris, I think. We talked to the teacher who was a professor in his classroom
Pima Community
today.
College teacher.
And he said he was afraid when he turned his back to the chalkboard.
Yeah.
Because he thought he was going to get a bullet in his back.
They thought that he was like going to bring an automatic weapon to school.
I am like that. I'm actually like that with Bill.
The question is, how do I get in the building?
And there were students in that class who have blogged and written emails about this, because it's all out there in the ether, right?
Also,
it's
probably on
electronically
Twitter.
Somewhere. And they were concerned. The one woman said that she sat up in the front desk of the class so she could be the first one out. All right, they finally got him kicked out of class after 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened then?
Yeah, but
nobody followed him. Nobody checked up. Nobody checked in.
Well, but what I read, though, that the school sent officials out to his house, and they had said, you can't come back to Pima Community College until you come with a letter that says you're not going to be a danger to yourself or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's usually
that
what prevents
happen.
Insanity. Look, I'm not going to do
I'm
it.
I'm just telling you, that's how they
chose
it. That's how they
cut out fonts from a magazine to do it.
In answer to Bill's question, though, where is the follow-up in
well,
all of
the,
that?
Well, the parents met with the school in October.
I want to ask Matt.
That was the last meeting that I'm aware of.
Matt, when they interviewed, when the sheriff was on and he was talking about how he was blaming, you know, the rhetoric and everything, was that meant to deflect any of the responsibility?
I don't know. There's been some reporting that maybe he had more indication that the kid was going to act out. We always look at these tragedies, and suddenly everyone is a forensics expert, and they can predict behavior ahead of time, and they want to say that someone could have solved the problem. I mean, the sheriff, the judge who was killed was his friend. I mean, these are people that he knew. He's completely entitled to his outrage, especially privately. But in the course of doing his work, he's not entitled to our outrage and to have all of us agree with his prescriptions of what's wrong with the country, you know, or that even we have a more inflamed political rhetoric right now than we did 5 years ago. I don't think we do. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't. I mean, after 9/11, people were a little bit rubbed raw. Mm-hmm. I mean, the 2004 the Republican convention in New York was not a pleasant moment in our political discourse.
Also, I always make the argument that heated political or any kind of heated rhetoric is a release valve. What do you, I mean?
Like porn.
Like porn, exactly. It's like the more you yell, the more that you listen to morning radio, the more that you listen to sports radio, that is your release valve. It's the people that don't have that that I worry about. It's always the silent loner.
It's so true.
It's not the obnoxious guy that shoots people.
And in fact, in this case, that's what people describe, you know, Jared Loughner as, is somebody who had become so much more.
By the way, it's Jared Lee Loughner. You gotta have
it. Gotta have three names if you kill more than one person.
Lee's my middle name too. So,
you know,
watch
you
out.
Bring up an interesting point though about the sheriff. My husband was born and raised in Tucson, and he said to me yesterday, he said, you know, this sheriff has always been like that. But he wasn't in the national spotlight. Mm-hmm. We've heard that all, he said, for decades. In fact, he got out of office and after many years got back into office and became even more political, according to my husband, who, like I said, has been there his whole life in Tucson. And
he was supposed to be on our program this morning and canceled last minute. So we did not have the chance to ask him that question.
Well, he knew you were going to grill him.
Maybe. kidding. He was asked, he said, do you want to take any of this back? And he said, no, I'll let you decide.
Oh. Hmm. Now we get to decide.
We're
before he was deciding for us.
All right. Okay. I want to move to the next story. I want to talk about this new bill. Not bill.
A third bill?
A third bill.
Oh, man. Trouble.
I've changed my name.
When the teleprompter decides to move to the next story. There you go. All right. He's using the mentally ill to make a new bill. Yes, it took less than 24 hours after the Tucson shootings for Congressman Robert Brady to introduce legislation banning the act of being mean to people like Congressman Robert Brady. The proposal, making it a federal crime for a person to use language or symbols that could be perceived as threatening or inciting violence against a member of Congress or federal official. In particular, Brady cites Sarah Palin's web posting of a map featuring 20 House Democrats, including Gabrielle Giffords in the crosshairs seen here, which is totally unlike the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee's use of bullseyes to target GOP incumbents last year, seen here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bloviated Brady, quote, this is not a wake-up call. This is major alarms going off. You can't put bullseyes or crosshairs on a United States congressman or a federal official. I understand this website that had it on there is no longer in existence. Someone is feeling a little guilty. Perhaps it's you for being a grandstanding jerk face. Hey, Matt, I got to go to you. This has got to be the most idiotic response to anything like this.
To start with, those targets aren't on politicians.
Yeah.
They're on states. They're on land masses.
Yeah.
Not to split hairs or anything like that. Look, every...
Again, a violent... You don't want to split hairs.
No, that is violence. Every law, as far as I'm aware, that has been passed in tragedy, especially if it's named after someone like Megan or Teresa or something, is a bad law, almost always. It's a way for people, the Congress people, to get in the headlines and to come up with some cockamamie idea about you can't drive within 1,000 yards of a school while you're lighting a cigarette or something like that. They are, by definition, idiotic laws, and he's trying to go after the whole basic Congress shall pass no law. You know, respecting the freedom of speech.
Bill.
Which one?
Schultz.
Okay.
Because you were sitting there, like, looking up at the sky. What do you make of this?
Well, the response wasn't very good, but the response wasn't so hot either. They talked to one of Palin's staffers, and she said, they were never intended to be gun-related. We were meant, like, crosses on a map. Because Palin's never been associated with guns.
But there's no, it doesn't make a difference whether it's crosshairs or bullseyes. You know, are you going to remove them? Because, of course, here's the bottom line. Of course she didn't mean that. And everybody knows she didn't mean that. So why are they making that accusation? They're making it because they're trying to defame her. They're trying to ruin her. The fact is, there is nobody's going to go, hey, let's put crosshairs on a state, on an area, and hope somebody shoots that person.
Well, here, let's take their fears for let's take them seriously for a second. Yeah. There are people, you know them, I know them. Yeah. They live in this city. They're among us. They're in this room, who are genuinely freaked out and scared because people who they don't normally associate with normal people are getting involved in politics, and they're talking and they're saying things differently and they're emphasizing different things, and it's creeping them out. And so they have been saying for 2 years, look at Paul Krugman's column today. It starts off basically with a definition of confirmation bias. It says, how many of you out there thought this was going to happen? See?
If you want to control the conversation or the situation, you just make people fear. I mean, that's always been true. I guess I see this in a bigger light. You talk about targets on a map. You know, I've got that same targeting strategy by the DNC that's right here. Mm-hmm. And I think you showed it there. I'm more concerned about us targeting anybody in our society, having been a stalking victim.
I apologize for that already, Harris.
All right.
I'm sorry.
You're actually better looking now than you were when you stalked me.
I lost some weight. Yes.
Right.
A couple of bulimia.
And that's working for you.
Cleaned up my acne.
But my point is, I mean, anybody who's put in, and I know we've used this word more than I ever have in my life, crosshairs. I don't even know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But anytime you put somebody in the crosshairs or you target them or whatever, and then you talk about it with rhetoric that's negative or violent, whichever side it is politically or wherever you're coming from, it's very dangerous because there are always those fringe players that will take that as a reason to act, whether they believe in what you're saying or not. And when you take that coupled with somebody in the public eye, it's just a dangerous mix.
See, I don't see that.
Make sure you make the connection before you go public with it. Two men who I think have done it right. John Boehner's statement on Sunday morning. It was straightforward. It was simple. The focus was on the right thing, the victims.
Yep.
And President Obama has been right on target as well.
Absolutely.
Watch how he works the rest of the week, too. I would expect the same from him.
And crosshairs is not necessarily a bad thing. Opening of a Bond movie, unless it's Roger Moore. Target the stores, gray clothing, low prices. Crosshairs can be a positive thing in this country.
Wait, no, is Target a crosshair or bullseye? I thought it was just
a bullseye.
It's a bullseye.
Bullseyes are
either way,
too.
It should be closed down because it says Target, right?
And a lot of people feel tramp stamps are bullseyes.
Yeah,
and that is a positive thing.
In some areas, they are.
I see a tramp stamp. Thank you.
Yes,
they are.
They are. Is this going to pass, Matt?
Something else will come in its place. I mean, we're going to keep at it. What's interesting to me is that all these arguments that largely the left rejected back when it was applied to cultural things about video game violence or especially about suicide solution by Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
That's not responsible for crazy heavy metal teenager guy committing suicide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because people have their own moral agency. They are crazy. They are not crazy.
It's interesting, though, but it's also because you're attacking the entertainment industry.
Right.
You can't, if you attack the, if you say there are elements of the entertainment industry that lead to people doing horrible things like suicide or whatnot, they get mad. But this is associated with conservatives, which is antithetical to the entertainment
industry.
Let's
not forget
that
it was Tipper Gore, it was Hillary Clinton, it was Al Gore, who were on the wrong side, in my view, of those battles, too. They were making explicit links that I think are ridiculous. You are either crazy or not crazy. I don't think that you can pin a piece of art or a piece of rhetoric on the actions of an obviously crazy person.
Yeah, and you can't change the rules.
The man stands to reason.
Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
No one's ever thought of that.
He is sitting, but I get the pun. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can't change our freedoms based on people, on who's crazy and who isn't, because it would be impossible.
Well,
it's the crazy
you know
person's
speech. Interesting. The person who spoke out about that is the grandfather of Christine, Christina Green.
The father?
Okay,
grandfather is Dallas Green.
Right. Well, he had a statement today, too. And said something similar, but I believe it was the father who said it first, John Green, who said, you know, I don't want to see freedoms changed. And in fact, I think he might have tweeted it. I'm being serious here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see freedoms changed because what's happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
You want to hear something really weird before we go? Mm. I said this on the strategy room today. This guy, this crazy guy, psycho, thought that the government was controlling his grammar. How weird is it that his actions are actually causing the government to think about controlling the language? There you go. Huh? That is weird. Okay. We got to take a break. But we've got more to cover on last weekend's shooting in Tucson, Arizona with our guests, so stick around. All right, before we go to our next story, I want to show you. This is the mugshot of Jared Lee Loeffner.
Did they do that to him, or did he shave his head after he got there?
I don't know.
Because his hair's been getting shorter ever since he graduated from school.
He may have shaved his head before he carried it out on Saturday.
Maybe he did. Wow. Maybe in high school, I think it did. He had that big mane.
Yeah.
And then he went to the more crew cut when he went up to MEPS, which is the Military Entrance Processing Station up in Phoenix, to try to get into the Army.
Oddly, and he was rejected.
Now he looks like this, which I think is really interesting.
That's a happiness derived from some kind of sick madness. I don't know if it's happiness.
Twisted. Yeah.
Is that like the creepiest picture you've ever seen since like Chuck Manson with the swastika on his forehead?
Yeah, no, Chuck maybe had a little bit more intensity with his eyes.
Yeah. Although I still see your passport photo in my nightmares.
Yeah,
my passport photo is a
yin and yang.
It's a close second to that.
Did you shave your head in your passport?
I did shave my head.
Ah.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Nice.
All right, so back to the media's crappy reaction to the shootings, namely the hypocritical hypocrisy. First to the New York Times editorial on Monday, quote, "It is mistaken to attribute this madman's act directly to Republicans or Tea Party members, but it is legitimate to hold Republicans and particularly their most virulent. You say virulent, I say virulent. Supporters in the media responsible for the gale of anger that has produced the vast majority of these threats."
What threats?
But as Philip Klein points out at the American Spectator, the Times' reaction after the Fort Hood massacre was different. Quote, "In the aftermath of this unforgivable attack, it will be important to avoid drawing prejudicial conclusions from the fact that Major Hassan is an American Muslim whose parents came from the Middle East. No one can begin to imagine what could possibly have motivated this latest appalling rampage. There may never be an explanation." All right, then there's Paul Krugman. His Monday column says the Arizona shootings shouldn't be treated as an isolated incident, but as a direct result of the, quote, toxic rhetoric coming from the right. But here's Krugman back in December 2009 writing on health care reform, a message to progressives: by all means, hang Senator Joe Lieberman in effigy.
Oh.
Wow.
Cute. Now, let's look at our good friends at Media Matters, who tweeted this after a wacko environmentalist took hostages at the Discovery Channel. Discovery Channel hostage taker is the perpetrator of a crime, not a liberal conservative or a chance to score points. It's so awful, I can't read it. Well, can't argue with that, but here's Media Matters again in a press release about Arizona. What's undeniable is that the attempted assassination of Giffords took place against a right-wing media backdrop that has been targeting the government and specifically Democrats. All right. Finally, back to Krueger's, starting off his column. When you heard the terrible news from Arizona, were you completely surprised? Or were you, at some level, expecting something like this atrocity to happen?
Wow.
Only you big tool. This is what kills me, Matt, because you were the one that pointed this out. It's, what do you call it? It's, you had a phrase for it.
Oh, no.
Confirmation bias.
It's confirmation bias, yeah. I mean, if you have thought this whole time that these crazy teabaggers are going to come and do terrible right-wing violent things, even though they generally have not been doing these things. That's not what they're talking about at their rallies, which I've gone to, unlike most of the people who write about it like that. Then you're just waiting for anyone to go off. And if that person goes off and everything about him says wasn't part of the Tea Party, wasn't really involved in politics,
just looking for
it was the grammar of language.
Yeah, but all right, hold on one second, though. We'd step back from the cliff here. Let's look at our examples we've done so far. Jane Fonda, The Daily Cause, Krugman, Olbermann, and Krugman again. Now, these guys are pundits. These guys are left-leaning jerks.
CNN spent all Saturday doing this. I was watching it. That was what they led with was angry rhetoric. They are the balance network. You know,
they had people talking about the rhetoric for sure, but they had a lot of people that were saying the exact opposite. Now that's
me. I didn't see it.
That I did. I was watching MSNBC all day, and for the first starters, I was watching
MSNBC.
Why
were you guys watching Fox?
I wanted to see what they're saying. Even Chris Matthews was pretty much taking back. He was doing both sides. He was talking about how this isn't a Republican thing. We shouldn't be saying that. And I was expecting far less from him because it's Chris Matthews, and I had to watch it. That was the worst part. But this is not as bad as what we're saying. And also, there's punditry is one thing, the media is another. And this gruesome liberal left-wing media that we've seen, I have not seen.
The New York Times had a news story today that talks specifically about the shooter's ties with the right wing.
Yes.
And what it said is that unnamed lawmakers have said that there's some ties between him and the American Renaissance magazine, which is some white power kooks. However, there's no evidence that he ever read the magazine or subscribed to it.
It was a great article.
But it was reported for 36 hours.
There's direct links. And now
when everybody's paying attention, look, if you wanted to find an offensive member of Congress, there are probably 533 others you could find between the House and the Senate.
other than Gabrielle Giffords.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was about as pleasant a person. Yeah. She would come on our program all the time.
Yeah.
Look, she works. She serves a swing district. Mm-hmm. You know, McCain won it in 2008. Bush won it in 2004. She had to kind of ride the middle of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
She voted for health care. But after that, she was on our show on Friday when I interviewed her.
She you read the First Amendment into the, yeah. The record.
That's right. On Wednesday, her big deal now was cutting salaries for members of the House and the Senate. Because she was worried about the exploding deficit.
I said, wait a minute.
I said, where have you been? I said, we've been talking about immigration and health care for 2 years together. Why are you saying now that the greatest national security threat to America is the exploding debt and deficit?
Which makes you understand why people call her a blue dog Democrat.
To which I said, you sound like a conservative today. You sound like a Republican. She says, I used to be a Republican.
But you know, and I started with this, and I think, you know, we don't have to make it be the reason that it happened, but I think you do have to look at the fact that the evidence would show. You said his voting record had independent checked off, and people had said he was this far left leaning liberal. Again, I haven't heard those people who criticized him for maybe being attached to the right come back and say, hey, wait a minute, he was one of ours from our team that went rogue. I haven't heard anybody say that, or even come back and say something
neutral. But listen, he was 22.
Like we were wrong.
On how much of an affiliation can you have at 22?
Well, he was
young, different.
He was a crazy person scorned. She didn't answer the question that he wanted.
Yeah. The irony in all of this is maybe Giffords wasn't liberal enough for him.
No, I don't think there was any, honestly, I got to move on. There's no political tie. I think he attached to her because she was local community. She made eye contact with him politely, and he got fixated because he's probably schizophrenic. And then grudge plus insanity equals tragedy.
Yeah. And that goes back to 2007, based on what the evidence we've seen so far.
Yeah. All right, we got to move on. So, do you have a comment on the show? Email us. It's redeye@foxnews.com. And leave a voicemail on my direct line, 212-462-5050. Still to come, the halftime report from TV's Andy Levy. A jerk.
Oh.
Yeah. Welcome back. Let's find out if we've got anything wrong so far. For that, we go to TV's Andy Levy. So, Andy, what do you have for us today?
I have some stuff and some things, Greg.
Hope we have more things and stuff.
Well, which do you want first?
Give me the stuff first.
Okay, we'll start. We'll leave with the stuff.
Yes.
Harris, you said the people who knew Loeffner as a teenager said he had paranoid liberal beliefs. You said he's a left-wing nut. I don't think the left-wing part is particularly accurate, at least from what we know right now. It seems like to the extent that he was political at all, what you've got is like a mishmash of various ideas from fringe elements of the left, from fringe elements of the right, fringe elements that have nothing to do with the left or right. And I think that's all that's going on here. I don't think there's anything political.
I base that on people who knew him, who went to high school with him. I will tell you this, though. There was certainly a break between what he was in high school and what he turned out to be in college, because those people said they didn't know him to be political at all. They just thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's schizo, because some days they said he would dress like a hippie, and then the next day he would dress like a gangster, like in the span of a week.
Right.
I wish I had that kind of work.
I interviewed a psychiatrist today who told me that he was right about that age where you would have seen some schizophrenia kind of come out, in all seriousness now.
Yeah, it's the age. It's early 20s.
Yeah, late teens, early 20s. And he said one of the things that kind of triggered it for him was the severe change in his appearance, that big sort of... No diss to Shaun White, the border, but he kind of looks like the snowboarder with all that hair and everything.
Yeah, it was a little Bill Schulte.
At age 21, then why are you alive?
This doctor said that it happens more for women than men. So when men make that kind of a drastic change, plus a change in their behavior that's real drastic, reclusiveness, so on and so forth, that those are the things that they start to look at. And they talk to other people around him forensically to try to find the
answer. Can we stop bad-mouthing recluses, by the way?
Yeah.
You're hitting him way too close.
I do not enjoy that.
You know, the thing is, if we found out he had two cats, I would not have been surprised, Andy.
Aww. You're not a cat person?
No, Andy has two cats. Oh. That was an attack on Andy.
I got to go get my name legally changed to drop the middle name.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the only way I have any chance. Matt, you pointed out something. You said Loeffner's read every lousy book ever written. You understand that along with the Communist Manifesto and Mein Kampf, Ayn Rand's We the Living was on that list, and objectivists are now going to give you a lot of crap.
Then it must be a day ending in A-Y.
Andy.
but wait. I got to tell you, when people do that stuff on any page, whether it's Facebook or MySpace or whatever, the books that they put there, they've never read. Don't they just put that stuff up there to piss people
well,
off?
Well, I don't know. They said that he had a copy of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Heavily dog-eared. Really? As a Judy Bloom fan.
Are You There, God? It's Me, Vodka.
No, so, as a Judy Bloom fan, I'm offended. I will not be put in with that racket.
Greg, are you denying that you've read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion?
Look, I might have skimmed it on a few days on leave.
Recipes.
Yes. Great recipes.
With all caps notes.
Yes.
Hey, Hammer, you pointed out that Loeffner is a registered independent. Are you saying this whole thing is No Label's fault?
Could be. I don't know what he was at 22.
Well, here's the other thing.
He was all 22.
Apparently, he was all over the board is what he was.
Apparently, he didn't vote in 2010. You'd think if he was so fired up by political rhetoric, he would have gone out and voted, right?
Yeah, perhaps.
Or stockpiled.
But here's the thing. I don't really care what he is because I know that he's right. Mentally ill. That's all I need to know. I don't know why he was out there to roam, how he got a gun. And I'm more pissed off at the way he's being, how this horrible crime is being used as a weapon against groups of people.
Okay.
That's all. Just had to get it out there.
Okay.
Sorry.
By the way, the website Good Politics grabbed an image of what looks like it was Loeffner's MySpace page before it got deleted. And one of his last messages he wrote, quote, "Goodbye, friends. Please don't be mad at me. The literacy rate is below 5%. I haven't talked to one person who is literate. I want to make it out alive. The longest war in the history of the United States. Goodbye. I'm saddened with the current currency and job employment. I had a bully at school. Thank you. P.S. Plead the fifth.
Buy gold."
Clearly... Clearly, everything on there was a reference to Sarah Palin.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Wow. That left everybody speechless, Andy.
I think they're just were all surprised that he had a MySpace page.
And Andy, right? let's go back to you changing your middle name. What is your middle name?
No, I'm dropping my middle name.
Oh, altogether?
Well, because people who go nuts always drop in the middle name when they describe them, when they identify them. So I figure if I don't have a middle name, I probably won't go nuts.
And isn't it sad you had to explain that joke to me?
Yeah. Actually, you
his middle name is Barbara. His parents are big Streisand.
Oh, yeah. Well, in that case, you've got to drop it for sure.
Yep. Yep.
Uh-huh. Okay, Babs.
Greg, you said you think things like talk radio act as a release valve. But don't you think that, Arizona aside, because it has nothing to do with that, but don't you think a lot of this stuff has gone too far?
What stuff?
The political rhetoric.
No!
Okay.
Absolutely not. It's the air that we breathe. People should... You know, it's funny. Nobody talks about that with sports. You know, nobody says like, hey,
that
dude,
you're
too much of a fan. People show up at arenas painted. Paint their face up. Dwayne will go, oh, my God, this guy's going to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm. Painted like the devil.
Yes.
Have you been to a Kansas
sports?
City Chiefs game? I lived in Kansas City for years. People
sports
have come, like, painted
sports,
like evil.
Sports is a game, guys.
I never got it.
Sports is a diversion. This is different.
Oh, to many people, politics is a diversion.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hey, I'm the ombudsman. I say no, it's not.
I trump you because I'm
Hammer, you said that you were talking about Sheriff... Dubnik. Yeah, you said that his comments were the height of irresponsibility, and I agree. Diane Sawyer asked him if he thought it was appropriate to theorize and draw conclusions without any facts. His response was, quote, "Well, that's my opinion. People can have their own opinions." Yeah. This guy's a law enforcement officer.
Well, yes, he is, and he deals with the law, and the law is based on facts.
Right.
Keep your mouth shut. I couldn't understand why he was saying what he was saying other than know that he really believes that.
Right.
And he was part of that crowd that thought, well, there's only one reason why this happened.
Yeah.
And it happened because some guy was ticked off at politics.
Well, Ala Pundit at Hot Air points out, he says, quote, "I'm also trying to imagine the reaction in the county DA's office as the sheriff does his level best to prejudice the trial they're eventually going to have to conduct." Which I think is an interesting point.
That could be. Yeah.
Look, this guy had a death wish. He took a taxi to the event. He had no escape plan.
Right.
He didn't go in there yelling, oh, you know, all Republicans should be dead, all Democrats should be. He said nothing.
No.
That is true.
They held the guy on the ground. He said, stop, you're hurting my leg.
That is true. If he had rented a car, that would have been a different story.
Well, I thought it was interesting, too, that psychiatrists have looked at his past, Andy, and they've said he could easily have taken out whatever grudge was going on against the school. He had a lot of people that were not getting along with him at Pima Community College. He could have picked any number of venues.
Right.
He just picked that one.
I think we got to take a break.
Yeah. Andy, do you want to come back and continue this line of questioning?
Why not?
All right. Don't go away. We got the second half.
Bye, Babs.
Of halftime.
That's
coming up.
Inaccurate.
Oh.
Welcome back. Let's find out if we've got anything wrong, part two.
Andy Barber Lee.
I know what you did last summer.
What did I do? Did I do the things or the stuff first? I
can't. Well, we did the stuff first. Now
okay, so now
things.
I got the things. Okay. Congressman Brady's bill to curb speech. Matt, let me ask you this. Brady claims that all he wants to do is expand Title 18, Section 871 of the U.S. Code, which basically makes it illegal to threaten, I guess, the president or the vice president or anyone in the line of succession. But that's not accurate, is it? He wants to go beyond that.
Yeah, he wants to go after the political symbology itself.
Right.
I mean, it's not actual threats. You'd have to interpret what Sarah Palin did on her Facebook page as a threat. And I know that half the country seems to come to that conclusion, but I think it might not pass some kind of evidentiary standard.
Right.
Mm. Sorry, he does work for Reason Magazine.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, you said you can't change our freedoms based on crazy people, but I feel like Congress does that all the time.
Well, you're talking about themselves, right?
Well, no, but I could be.
Yeah. Well, maybe you are.
Huh?
Maybe you should look in the mirror, young man.
Maybe I should.
Ooh. Yes.
Oh, Andy Barber Levy.
Couple split ends.
Hey, by the way, remember when the left went nuts after 9/11 when the Bush administration cautioned people to watch what they say and did?
Yeah, those were good times.
Yeah. Greg, you showed what you said was Loeffner's mugshot. It's actually a picture taken by the Pima County Sheriff's Forensic Unit, but it's not his booking photo.
Really?
Yeah.
So we have that to look forward to tomorrow.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
mean there's more?
I did
they
see
do
this.
Like a whole photo shoot.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And also, it may have been a picture of Jim Norton. I'm not
oh,
positive.
Oh, terrible. Jim Norton. No, the thing is, you know what's amazing is how I saw the sketch of him in court. Why do the sketches always make people look better looking than they are? The sketch of him is like slender. He's got more hair. He looks. It's just weird.
No, right? No,
why
would
hair?
Andy,
bald.
Why would the police take a picture of him?
The forensic unit?
I
have absolutely no idea.
That is a good question.
I've never known that before.
Why do they why do they still have sketch artists? Why do you need sketch artists? Do
you guys can't have cameras? Because you can't have cameras in court.
Federal court.
But why don't you let a why don't you just have a camera guy in there?
It's federal don't. Court.
Yeah. But that's a circular
I got
argument.
You, but you're going to have to change the rule then.
All right.
Yeah.
Federal court. My apartment, by the way.
We've got so much unemployment already. Do you really want to put the sketch artist out of work?
Yes.
My apartment is filled with nothing but sketches.
That is true. Mm.
I don't like photos. You know what? Photos steal your soul.
Yeah, they do. They do steal your soul.
Yeah, but you ain't sketching souls, my friend. You're a dirty bird.
Oh, man.
Media stuff. Greg, you brought up Monday's New York Times editorial where they wrote, it is facile and mistaken to attribute this particular madman's act directly to Republicans or Tea Party members, but it is legitimate to hold Republicans and particularly their most virulent supporters in the media responsible for setting the nation on edge. I'm going to do a little thing I like to call a word substitution here, Greg.
Yes.
It is facile and mistaken to attribute this particular madman's act directly to Muslims, but it is legitimate to hold Muslims and particularly the most virulent supporters responsible for setting the nation on edge. Mm. You think the Times would ever write that?
No, they wouldn't.
Okay.
That was very clever of you.
You are correct.
That goes to my point of there's an amazing amount of lack of self-awareness going on right now. There just is. I can't explain it. There's a lot of smart people saying really weird things. I try to check myself whenever I think I'm going too far in one direction. A lot of people do that. That's what makes people human. I'm watching a lot of people just jumping off the cliff into crazy land, Captain Crazy Land.
Yeah, Twitter was just ridiculous.
Yes, it was. It was
by
insane.
By the way, may I make a point about Twitter? I think the real story here is the politician's safety versus their Twitter account. Now, this girl tweeted where she was,
what
she was doing 10 minutes before any of this stuff happened.
Oh, maybe Katie Parker.
Yeah, maybe politicians should take a look at this and maybe be a little less forthcoming about what they're doing, where they're at, particularly if they have bad security. Just a thought. For more on that, go to justathought.org.gov.
Of course, if it wasn't going to be on Twitter, there are other ways for them to find out where she was. I don't think that
it's
a public event.
It was a public event.
Yeah. And the other thing is,
but you
I don't
know,
think
make it easier for him.
Yeah, but
you
I don't think
Twitter
that's kind of the point of the point of a
Bill,
the point of a public event is to let the public know the event is happening.
Hey, it's one thing to post a public event. It's another thing to say, "Hey, I'm in the parking lot right now."
That kook was going to find her eventually.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. I'm saying why make it easier.
Also you're assuming the fact that this idiot was on Twitter. I don't think I think he was like in a basement, you know, carving out soap replicas of Andy.
And he had attended one of these events. Bill mentioned it back in 2007, you know, pre-Twitter, and he managed to get to that one. So I don't think that her tweeting necessarily helped him get to the event.
There you was know, a the essence of their, right, their essence, good.
the essence of their job is to meet with the people they represent.
Right. Yeah. That's part of the job.
And it's not going to change. You know, you can take precautions. You can take a big security person along with you. But when it comes to meeting people one-on-one, that's the essence of their job. It is responsibility number one.
Well, and one of the reasons.
Harris, we got to split. Sorry. I just want to say, lastly, Greg, you referred to CNN as the balanced network. You, of course, meant boring.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
The other B word.
Thank you, Andy.
Yep.
Go away.
It's Andy Barber Levy.
Yes. We're taking a break. More stuff when we return, I think. Reminds me of Bill on spring break.
Mail time.
It's been a long time. It's mail time. The address is redeyedfoxnews.com. You write, I read, then it's over. Here we go. Somebody didn't leave us a name leads things off. Quote, I've tried to enjoy Red Eye, but how can a supposed conservative satire program such as Red Eye always include only pro-sodomy, pro-perversion, pro-drug-addicted, pro-hobo-banging, pro-Mexican pool boys, enslaved in basement jokes, and still be considered conservative? That's a question. You know, it's funny. We're just days away from our 900th show. Actually, days since our 900th show. And we still get letters like these, which makes me think that maybe you're right. It's time for a change. But then I sleep with a hobo while my Mexican pool boy, Julio, watches, and I reconsider. FYI, if you're interested in a size 40 pair of ratty and somewhat pudgy overalls, I'll be leaving them out behind the Applebee's dumpster. You know where that is. All right, Brian from Kalua Kona, Hawaii, wherever that is. Would you and your fellow New Yorkers just shut the hell up about the snow already?
Amen.
You elected that arrogant as mayor, and now you're surprised that life ain't a bowl of cherries? Shut up already. If you don't like New York City, do what I did, move. You know, Brian, I guess we could have, like you, moved to Hawaii, but we're Americans. And I'd never leave my country for some tiny waterlocked third world nation overrun by volcanoes and tiki voodoo cults. You're just Alabama without the cosmopolitan lifestyle. Finally, Jim from Silverdale, Washington, writes, I must say, you are inspirational. Just finished reading your excellent book, The Bible of Unspeakable Truths. It was a real page-turner and a must-read for all teenagers.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I especially enjoyed the chapter on unicorns. Actually, I'm lying. I didn't read your book, but I noticed that every time everyone who emails O'Reilly about his book gets his letter read.
Astute he is.
Jim, you're absolutely right. You can get on Red Eye simply by kissing my butt or plugging the book. Or is it the reverse?
No.
Anyway, we'll close things out with a post-game wrap-up from TV's Andy Levy. And to see clips of recent shows, go to foxnews.com/redeye. Back to Andy Levy for the post-game wrap-up.
Thanks, Greg. Hey, Matt, what's the deal with your comrade Nick Gillespie's mustache?
Thankfully, it has been. God, I hadn't seen it. That is something special. apparently, Judge Napolitano got the vapors and suspended his belief in natural rights by telling Gillespie to shave it off. So it's gone.
Oh, it's gone. All right. Hey, Hemmer, I hear you were recently spotted in Times Square late at night with one Greg Gutfeld.
Who told you that?
It's just a rumor going around on Twitter.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Harris, 9 a.m. tomorrow, where are you going to be? Or today?
FoxNews.com Live, formerly known as Strategy Room. Doing what we do.